Good morning. Welcome to our service today. This is now the third week following the Easter celebration. We begin our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We turn to our Lord and confess our sins. Almighty God, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful. We have sinned against you and our neighbor by our selfish thoughts, our hurtful words, and our unloving actions. We fall far short of your glory, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, forgive us. My dear friends, God has forgiven us all of our sins. Let us receive that forgiveness in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson from Acts chapter 4. Let's see how we are passionate for Jesus. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. This is God's word. And our gospel lesson is from Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, Jesus said to them, Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. Jesus said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is God's word. We join together in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue then with our message for today. I would think it's probably very true that many of you women listening, you enjoy wearing a nice perfume. And I would imagine that many of you guys, if you're going to wear a cologne, you too would want to have a beautiful fragrance about yourself. Now, if you would look online, you could find some pretty expensive perfumes, colognes. Very expensive. In fact, one of them comes in, well, it's a 16.9-ounce bottle. I don't think you could buy it for anything less than that. But that bottle, 16.9 ounces, would cost you about $215,000. That's quite a bit of money. And I doubt if we would ever be able to buy it. But wouldn't it be maybe nice to smell it? There is another perfume that is far more expensive than that. In fact, it is priceless. The Apostle Paul today paints a picture, actually two pictures. First of all, he tells us we are the perfume of Christ. We're bought with that precious blood of our Savior Jesus. And Paul also informs us that we are a letter of Christ. Let's hear that then today as we take a look at our epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 14. Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us on in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." This is God's Word. The first picture that the Apostle Paul paints is the fact that we are the perfume of Christ. We read verse 14. "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." The triumphal procession was led by the victorious general and followed by his soldiers. Fresh flowers would decorate the parade path. Well, here it is Jesus who is the victorious general, and the soldiers that he is leading and those who are following and who share the sweet fragrance of the gospel are pastors and teachers like Paul and you and I. And Paul is thanking God for that parade in which we are participating. Its parade is only possible because of Jesus, That parade celebrates the victory that Jesus has won. On Good Friday, Jesus shouted, "It is finished." And Christ's shout signaled victory. His and our victory over sin, death, and the devil. And as Christians, we now have the privilege to share that victory through the sweet fragrance of our lives. Verses 15 and 16. We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. Paul expresses the gospel in two smells. The one smell is as good as something ever could smell. The other is as nasty can be. For those who believe, the gospel has a smell of freshness and life. For those who don't believe, the gospel reeks of death. Paul serves as an example of this. At one time in his life, Jesus and the cross was the smell of death to Paul. Before his conversion on that trip to Damascus, Paul, who was then Saul, wondered how in the world could Christians be so gullible to believe that a criminal hanging there on a cross could possibly be the Savior. He hated Christ. He hated Christians. But then the change came. Christ called him. The Holy Spirit converted him. And Paul became as passionate for Christ as he had been against Christ. He was driven to share Jesus as much as he had been there to destroy him. The gospel is the smell of life, the smell of forgiveness, the smell of Jesus' victory over death. But the gospel is also the smell of death to those who reject, who think it's foolish. Like Paul, we speak for God. And as Paul says, we speak in sincerity, truth, and in love. And now he gives us the second picture. We are also letters for Christ. With our lives, people read the love of Christ. You might never have thought of yourself this way, but each of us is a love letter. With our lives, people read the love of Jesus. Paul's opponents constantly question his credentials. They would ask, "Who in the world are you, Paul, that you could speak to us in such a way? Who are you that you think we should be listening?" Paul says, "I'll tell you where you can find my credentials. It's the Corinthian Christians." He says, "You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody." Paul calls those Corinthian Christians living letters, letters from Christ. He says, "Your lives are letters in which you live up to the name Christian." Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, grandma, grandpa, children, people of all ages, how are we doing at reflecting the love of God for all to see in our lives? We are probably familiar with the companies Nordstrom and JCPenney's. Well, JCPenney executives arranged a meeting with the executives of Nordstrom. They wanted to learn Nordstrom's formula for success. Can you imagine the surprise of those Penney executives when the Nordstrom executives pointed them to a business book written over 100 years earlier by J.C. Penney himself? Nordstrom had taken that model for business written by J.C. Penney, and they followed it faithfully. The J.C. Penney executive surely had to do some soul searching after hearing that. It couldn't have been clearer in the fact that they were not living up to their founders' beliefs. How are we living up to our founders' beliefs? We do it by living up like our founder, by following the business model that Jesus gave to us in the Bible. And when we do, Paul says we share two great truths. He says he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. First, there is the law letter. In our ministries, the law of God has an important role. The law of God demands our obedience. It makes it clear that the soul that sins is a soul that will die. As a living letter, the gospel has an even greater role: to share God's love, which promises forgiveness, hope, life to those who believe. That is the Easter effect. The gospel that changed those disciples is the gospel that changed us. The gospel that empowered those disciples to share Jesus is the gospel that empowers us to share Jesus. The attitude of many is, if I like you, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to what you have to say. Or, if I don't like you, I won't. Well, how will people like us? When we speak sincerely, truthfully, and lovingly. My friends, we have the privilege to be a living letter for Christ. As others read our lives, may God grant that they will read the life of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn to the Lord in prayer. O Lord God, our strength, our song, our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. In your compassion, you sent Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Drive out the doom and the glout and the doubt, that we may delight in your glorious triumph. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints. Grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people standing before your throne and singing the song of victory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and praise. Lord, make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, time, talents, treasures. Risen Lord, live in us that we may live for you. And merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick, strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying, assure them of your abiding presence, and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. With happy hearts we come before you and say, Alleluia, thanks be to God. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.